On today's Daily Comedy News, I'm trying something that's pretty far out there, but because I have a weird brain, something that got stuck in my head, it was when Chris Gethard was talking about his new special. Here's what Chris Gethard said. I'm very excited to work with Comedy Dynamics in bringing half my life to the world. Not only do I get to share some of my idiotic stories, I get to show some of the viewers some of the grimy venues that support underground comedy. Plus, I almost get killed and eaten at the end. And here's the part that has stuck with me, Chris said. I'm pretty sure this is the only comedy special in history that can claim that. And that got me wondering about the Romans. Surely some comedian during Roman times must have been in trouble or something, maybe fed to alligators. And I thought I'd find out. Now, as I'm reading this again, Chris Gethard may have a point. If we're going to parse the language like lawyers, he said, this is the only comedy special in history. So I'm pretty sure back in Roman times, they didn't have Netflix comedy specials. So Chris might be accurate, but I'm still going to push back on the I almost get killed and eaten at the end. I'm pretty sure this is the only special in history that can claim that. Who's calling me? Spam caller? No. Why don't you just edit this out, Johnny Mac? Because that's not fun. That's why. So I went to SmithsonianMag.com, and they tell a story recounted by Diodorus Siculus in Library of History. You've read that. Everyone knows Siculus. According to the Library of History, a performer portrays an anti-Roman stance only to be murdered by Roman soldiers for doing so. Too soon? Not funny? Just kind of not funny. I'm sorry, comedian. Sure, your bit was pretty good. But Chris Gethard, see, you know, you didn't get murdered by Roman soldiers. So, like, relax with the alligator part. In the next act, a comedian announced to the crowd, I'm not a Roman either. I travel throughout Italy searching for favors by making people laugh and giving pleasure. So spare the swallow, which the gods allow to nest safely in all our houses. Fortunately, his request was heeded, and he survived the experience. Smithsonian Mag says the ancient Romans enjoyed many flavors of theatrical performance, from classical theatrical comedies to the more impromptu performances of actors who did short sketches and used physical humor. Roman improv, everybody! The earliest known performances came from a town in southern Italy called Atella in the 4th century BC. It wasn't until 346 BC that Roman historian Livy writes of performances in Rome proper as part of a religious festival to request that the gods ward off the plague. Some things never change. The Rome Comedy Festival, please ward off the plague. Sounds familiar. Oh, nothing changes apparently. Performances were staged in makeshift theaters open to the elements, unlike the amphitheaters of Greek performances. So the Romans were basically in parking lots. Pompeii became the first to erect a permanent theater in Rome in 55 BC, built of stone and seating thousands of spectators. Most comedians were poorly paid, but exceptionally popular ones, men like Aesopus and Roscius, who acted in dramas and comedies, could earn sizable fortunes. It sounds like nothing has changed at all in 2,500 years. Comedians were often performers who tackled non-tragic work. Comedic poets used puns and wordplay, as did mimes. These weren't silent performers like Marcel Marceau, but rather the equivalent of sketch comedians, and their numbers even included women. Their performances were largely improvised and used facial expressions and costumes to imitate and mock everyone from pompous politicians to rustic tourists. Roman comedians used to upend expectations and antagonize Roman society and engage with the political discourse of the day. Take Seneca the Younger, host of Late Night in Rome. That was a TV show back in 54 CE. Seneca made fun of the recently murdered Emperor Claudius. He mocked Claudius's many physical and mental ailments, including a speech impediment and physical weakness. He could get away with it because of his sponsor. His sponsor was not, you know, Coca-Cola. It was the emperor's successor, Nero. Other comedians weren't so lucky. Being a comedic performer instead of a writer came with a major disadvantage. It meant you couldn't be a citizen. Performers were among the infamous and couldn't call themselves citizens of Rome or get any of the associated benefits like the limited form of political representation others enjoyed. That meant that most comedians who acted were former slaves or people who didn't have any citizenship to lose. For the rare comedian who worked their way out of acting into writing, this is fascinating. There was no promise of keeping the higher social status in 46 BCE. Julius Caesar demanded that one of the great mime writers of the time, Decimus Liberius, perform in a stand-up battle of mimes that was telecast on NBC on a Wednesday night. Liberius would face off against a Syrian ex-slave called Publius. Liberius wasn't overly eager to forfeit his rank, but how could he say no to Caesar? So he appeared dressed in the outfit of a Syrian slave to mock his competitor and said, "Citizens, we are losing our freedom. He who many fear must fear many." Liberius lost the competition, but he was actually rewarded by Caesar so that he could buy back his citizenship. So, Chris Gethard, I'm sure it was terrible when you played lousy comedy clubs and were almost killed by an alligator or whatever your bit is, but I think the Romans had it worse. Been sitting on this one for a while. Let's do it today from The Guardian. Keegan-Michael Key's favorite sketches. You know Keegan-Michael Key from Key and Peele Plus. He is a Mac Packer. What is the Mac Pack? Those are my celebrity man crushes. It's Keegan-Michael Key, Michael Chiklis, Tom Cavanaugh from The Flash. Keegan recently did his Audible series, The History of Sketch Comedy, and he said, "These sketches are ones that I love, but I wasn't able to cover in my series. These are not in any particular order, but hit all my funny bones in different ways." He loves Mitchell and Webb's The British Actors. In this one, a director is talking about a West End production of Sherlock Holmes, starring two actors who he implies had very big egos. They both play Holmes and switch roles every night. One night, Holmes taps Watson on the head with a pipe, and you switch to the next night, and the other whacks him in the head harder. It cuts to two nights later, and they're both bandaged, and one has a cane. What's brilliant about this sketch is that we never see the relationship between them build. We only see the results of it. It's a piece of wonderfully precise visual comedy. He's a fan of Kids in the Halls, McGillicuddy, and Green. Two vaudeville performers are doing a string of routines. One is sticking to the classic structure of a vaudeville setup. The other is taking every word literally. He loves In Living Color's Def Jam Comedy Hour, saying, "In the black community, the audience of comedy shows is very demonstrative. In the sketch, they heighten this to the nth degree. A pregnant woman laughs and a child shoots out onto the stage. One guy laughs so hard that his head explodes. It's an interesting way in sketch comedy to show an aspect of black culture. It makes me laugh so hard." He's a fan of Inside Amy Schumer's Time Travel. Versions of Amy Schumer keep visiting from the future to tell her to date a guy or not. One version tells her to give the guy oral sex because the economy in France is going to crash if she doesn't do it. The whole sketch riffs on second guessing and dating. It's fascinating and funny. He loves, and so do I, Saturday Night Live's James Brown Celebrity Hot Tub Party. What I find funny about the scene is how Eddie Murphy assumes something about James Brown, which is that James not only has a hot tub, but that he would sing about it. The entire sketch is a character-driven performance, and Eddie slays it. The phrase, "too hot in the hot tub," is to this day part of the American zeitgeist. He loves Monty Python's Ministry of Silly Walks. Also, Bob and Ray's Four-Leaf Clover Farm. Bob and Ray were a radio comedy duo from the 60s. In this sketch, one of them is asked what they do for a living, and he says, "I run a four-leaf clover farm. We batch them off to novelty stores in New York." Somebody said, "What happened to the first crop?" "The driver fell off a cliff. We lost the whole crop. I couldn't supervise the second crop. I hit my head on a horseshoe." They're having the unluckiest time. It's so subtle and wonderful. He loves Saturday Night Live's Steve Martin's Holiday Wish. "I love this sketch because it starts at about 3 on the sketch comedy weirdness scale and very quickly goes to a 15, 28, and a 47. The escalation is not only easy to follow, but surprises you at every turn. It's a great example of Aristotle's concept of something being unexpected and inevitable. In this case, the uncensored honesty of what one man would do if given a holiday wish." The Catherine Tate Show's The Interpreter. Tate volunteers to interpret with a bunch of international people, all speaking different languages. She turns to a French person. She takes a deep breath, steals herself, and goes with all the confidence in the world, "Oh, hee hun." And then she moves to the next person, and there's an anticipation because you don't know who she's going to be talking to. It's absolutely ridiculous. Understanding Barman from A Bit of Fry and Laurie. The barman is a brilliant straight man who tries to make his customer as comfortable as possible and keeps offering items that end up creating a Mad Lib sort of game. Each item is timed perfectly for each complaint of his patron. The timing is impeccable. The suggestions are filthy. If this was a list of my top 10 favorite double entendre scenes, this would be at the top. Again, this from The Guardian. And it's Keegan-Michael Key, Mac Packer's favorite sketches. That is your comedy news for today. I hope you enjoyed the lesson of Roman history. You didn't come here for that, did you? I hope you enjoyed it. Surprise! Follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcast. See you tomorrow.